Being a novelist, I can appreciate how easily this could be done. The ordinary person would suppose that the tinkering to produce a wholeness would be done at the end, i.e., the final elements in time would be placed there to conform with the very early childhood ones. But of course, it's the other way. At an early age, certain gestalts would be stuck in. And at this point, the child's worldview, his sense of reality, in fact, his reality, would be so hazy that he would accept anything. There could be no rejection of any item as out of context or not supposed to be there and hence unconvincing or suspicious in nature. God could stick a sardine can in the middle of the sky, and the 2-year-old would gaze at it with awe, as we would, but with total acceptance, which we would not. God could see to it that these key, and they need be only a few, engrammed on items could be striking, would leave a vivid impression, and a lasting, for obvious reasons, effect. The child, as he grew up, would find himself wondering, every so often, why the yellow blossoms of the acacia plant seemed so significant to him and lingered in his memory tapes. After much else had dimmed, and then finally he would delight in re-encountering the acacia plant at the Lusitania Hotel and marvel that he had somehow found his way home, or better, more accurately, been led home. In my life, this would be why I always remember the name of my babysitter, Olive Holt, when the names of most teachers afterwards were forgotten. It was because that name in divided form would crop up in the Xerox letter, by accident. It could, to a certain vague but real extent, be found there. I would see it in the Xerox letter, and my mind would work in a retrograde way, which is the direction the retention was impressed at the time, when I was 4 years old, because it would come up later, because that would clue me in 1974. This is an example of a process which I saw in 374 as a major process in the universe. It plays its hand, so to speak, in such a non-linear way that the pattern is never visible until the final sections, or even section, is lowered or raised into place. One can't even tell for a long time, maybe a lifetime, that there are patterns at all. What is given is not given in sequence, anyhow, not in causal sequence, or any 1-2-3-4 sequence. The significance, therefore, of any element early in the game, which is to say, in life, cannot be assessed. One can dream at any time, a dream the events and things of which, although impressive and vivid, admit to no understanding, until the missing integers show up subsequently. So selective, so intelligent is the method of play, that every guess as to the meaning of a partial pattern is brought to ignominious ruin when the true, completed pattern is visible. And one must hang on, and hang on, waiting for that last piece. Thus, things seem to turn into their opposites, or anyhow, into what they were not, as an additional piece is added, and each gestalt is a subsection of a larger gestalt embracing several gestalts. We therefore can reason that if we watch the universe in its process, its continual creation, we cannot guess what shape it will assume when complete until it is complete. It could turn from a short, fat, mean, dull, dry universe to a thrilling, warm, green hat-shaped one with the addition of a single sly piece, and God himself could show a complete visage which was quite different from the semblance up to then. This might provide a new clue as to unreality versus reality. The latter is anything correctly apprehended, which is to say when it is complete. Until then, no matter how scrupulously observed, it would be less than real. It would be illusion? A phantom? The not real, anyhow. It would not really achieve isness, or true being, but have only temporal function or mode until then. The false work of the universe, serving until final pieces are in, and being, or true isness, takes place, which could be suddenly and unexpectedly. It would be witnessed as a transformation, not a mere addition to, but a total transformation from being, not truly so, just existed in the mode of one thing, into being, this time truly another. Theorem. That which we call illusion or not real is simply that which is still incomplete, not yet what it is. There is a lot of this, on all sides of us and in us. You see, they couldn't keep the universe vacant and closed until it was finished. Where were we supposed to live until then? Like a new exhibit at Disneyland, which isn't opened until finished, until complete. We're living in an in-progress place because there is nowhere else for us to go. This is the only exhibit. 567. When I look back on those first days in 374, when I saw Rome around me, not Fullerton, and specifically the Rome of the period of Christ's time, and saw its angry military hostility, I was equally aware, and this is what I tend to forget, of my own identity standing in opposition to it. Hence its hostility toward me. The scurrying of its agents were specifically hostile toward me, and I had to work in stealth, e.g., in baptizing Christopher et al. The other end of the dipole was my own new identity, not merely the new identity of my environment, Fullerton made into Rome. I had become a Christian and a very special kind, different from what I had been as Fullerton had been to Rome. I was a member of a secret group which Rome was dedicated to destroy. This made me part of the Fish Sign Secret Society, killed on identification and disclosure. No sense can be made out of my seeing Fullerton turn into Rome until the other hemisphere of the Magdeburg jars is taken into account. What I had turned into, I can infer it from the hostility of my Roman environment. The ear leg, for instance. But more so, I can infer it from what I did, the baptism, and my knowledge of the original Christian practices. The change had been wrought in me. Fullerton, metamorphosing into Rome, came as a result of that. Thus, what I saw externally in terms of transformation ratifies what I knew from an inner awareness to be the case. The two fit perfectly. What was Rome of that period hostile to? The authentic early Christians. Also, I tend to forget that in addition to the secretiveness of my actions due to my knowledge of what the Romans would do to me, was my anticipation of the Savior to come. What is involved is a restoring, a new life which is the igniting by means of the penetrating of the solar spermaticos of what had lain dormant, asleep over 2,000, maybe 5 to 10,000 years. Note. This term spermaticos originates with the International Community of Christ, the ICC, which teaches that the sun's light carries coded information. This and other terms in this entry are taken from The Decoded New Testament, 1974, by Jean Savoy, head bishop of the ICC. End note. It could not wake itself up, like the root or bulb called to by spring, by the healing, warming sun of righteousness, it had to be summoned. If new birth or new life refers to a restoring, which it does, then at one time that healing sun was present and somehow withdrew, at which time the higher life in us fell asleep, in the darkness, vide the pineal body secreting the hormone melatonin, in darkness, which impedes the expansion, the growth, the coming into activity of the latent form, or entelechy. The very idea of wake up implies winter time and the slumbering during winter time of all life. In some fashion, however, we once were awake and then fell asleep, which is what the Greeks meant by lethe, by forgetfulness. Forgetfulness is equated with falling asleep, and waking up with anamnesis. I guess the nourishing and feeding by the solar spermatica is understandable when one realizes that all life is fed by sunlight per se. This is an analog of that. It cannot wake unless fed. The first impulse rouses it from slumber, as when I felt that an Essene or someone holy who had been slumbering in me thousands of years and who possessed Sophia Pistis had awakened. The shock was of such enormity as to be beyond words to express. I can see why. I woke abruptly to find myself with my Savior, and then entered fellowship with God, the dreams of the delighting void. Can it be said that this is the rebirth, accomplished by penetration of the child by the solar spermaticos? Yes, firebright, brought to life and sustained, greater intelligence for me, better health, longer life, even prosperity, a certain facility with life. But most of all, I recall what I saw when I awakened. I saw my God smiling in the sunlight of day. Once, during the years of the terrible separation, I saw Palmer Eldritch in the sun. I saw God backward, but sure enough, in the daytime sun, at high noon, and knew him to be a God. The three stigmata, if read properly, i.e. reversed, contains many clues as to the nature of God and to our relationship with him. I was motivated to flee then, fearing what I saw so vast was the breach then. It was definitely a true vision of God, but grown, to my blind sight, terrible. Still, it was the beginning of my seeing that I could see God at all in the sun, showed that I was not entirely blind, but rather deranged. My 374 experiences are an outgrowth of my Palmer Eldritch experience of over 10 years earlier. Faith of our fathers shows this too. I knew him to be real, but only in Ubik does he begin to appear as benign, especially then in Maze of Death. We were coming back together as friends in the light-struck meadow or forest, the summertime to greet. 569. This news in Psychology Today about the pineal body being a light-receiving organ or gland is so exciting to me because it means that the chromatic phosphine source I experienced did not merely go to the light-sensitive part of my brain, but also to my pineal gland. My brain saw the phosphine activity and was dazzled and delighted. However, probably as far as the brain itself went, it ended there. Not so for my pineal body. It responded, which is what it does, see article in Psychology Today, to what it received from the optic nerve, accepting it not as entertainment, but as signal, disinhibiting no doubt. Probably all melatonin production for openers was halted, it being an inhibiting secretion. I guess I saw the other sun, which shone at nighttime when the physical sun isn't there. It was a deliberate signal from the sun of righteousness in the night, a dazzling display of its kind of light, a fire-like light, much like chromatic fire, and it tripped the pineal into things buried in our morphology for thousands of years, which the physical daytime sun doesn't trip, more than abolishing the production of melatonin and histamine, etc. This chromatic other sun fire light would cause firing in the pineal body, which constituted the true, absolute, ultimate purpose of that body, and place my total mind-body organism into its true, absolute, ultimate being state. Nurturing, I am not. Rather than merely being nurtured by the earth, etc., but nurturing fire bright within me. A yinish matter. Hence, this is why I got Kun as my trigram. Kun and Tui, both female. This is the normal growth line of an organism. It is born and must, as an incomplete, ungrown infant, be nurtured. Gradually, as it grows, it moves toward nurturing rather than being nurtured. Final entelechy completion would be for it to nurture, be a parent. This is logically visible in all higher organisms. We call this giving rather than receiving. What the Gospels stress when they repeat the concept of giving in so many ways is nurturing, which is giving. The parent, mother or female, gives of her own body in this. The reason the Gospels emphasize the female values is not for receptivity alone, which is the first step before implantation, but after the reception of the seed, then the nurturing. So long as one takes, one is not full grown, and certainly not yet a parent of the spiritual immortal body within. One becomes the mother, and God Himself is the father, and does the protecting, as one sees on the visible plane in a family. One could speculate that this is the purpose of human beings, why we are here, to serve as the recipient female mothers for the implantation of the solar spermatica, the divine seeds. Curiously, this would bear on Doris's point about the item in Catholic Agitator that Jesus' healing activities were not only primary, it was that which most crucially angered the Romans. Note: Doris Sauter was a dark-haired girl Dick met in 1972 when she was dating his friend and fellow SF writer Norman Spinrad. The two later bonded over their growing interest in Christianity, Doris sharing her conversion story with Dick, and Dick relaying the events of 2374 to her. Eventually, the two paired up for charity work. In May 1975, Sauter was diagnosed with advanced lymphatic cancer, which she survived. In January 1976, Dick asked Sauter to marry him, although his fifth wife, Tessa, and young son, Christopher, would not move out of the apartment for several months. Sauter refused. Later that year, when Sauter's cancer returned and Dick's health issues, including high blood pressure and heart problems, became more serious, they decided to live together. Doris became the character model for Sherry Salvig in Vallas, 1981. Later, she moved next door to Dick and became the inspiration for the character in Ribus Romney, in Chains of Air, Web of Ether, 1979, and The Divine Invasion, 1981. Sauter was forced to move out when the apartment building converted to condominiums, but the two remained friends until Dick's death. D.G. End note.